statistics off the internet. And you know, if you find it on the internet, it's got to be true. Somewhere along the lines of this, the average person speaks 16,000 words a day. 16,000 words a day, the average person speaks. Some of y'all speak more than that, trust me. Just take my word on that one. And this is another statistic off the internet, does around 33 activities a day. So 16,000 words, 33 activities. Now, you say, well, I know some people, they might do one activity a day, waking up. But on average, 16,000 words, 33 activities a day. Do you realize that for a Christian, every word and every deed or action should be, 16,000 words, think about that, 33 actions. Everything for a Christian should be in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Tonight, part 20 of 20. This is the last conclusion of verses 1 to 17. And since it is the last one out of Colossians 3 for a while, at least as far as I know, we're going to go back and read verses 1 through 17. And then we're going to look in particular at verse 17. Title of the message tonight, In the Name of the Lord Jesus. In the Name of the Lord Jesus. So Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. It says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So it says, if you're risen with Christ, who's that? A Christian, right? So seek the things that are above, not the things here. Set your affections on things above too. Seek and set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, right there is a problem with a lot of Christians, seriously. They put their affections on things of the earth and kind of forget about God. You can't be focused on things of the earth and God at the same time. You cannot be. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So you've died to yourself. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Whoa, that's good stuff, right? So this world's going to be history real soon. You know, we're going to be home. Even if it's not history as far as all mankind goes, it's going to be history as far as we're concerned because we're getting older and we're going to leave this world. Mortify or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So we're supposed to put these things to death. So we're not supposed to continue to drag them along and keep resuscitating them and putting them as part of our life as children of God. It says, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So because of sins like this, the wrath of God is going to come on this earth eventually in the tribulation period. It says, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. I like the tense there. You walked, you lived. It used to be that way, but not anymore. But now ye also put off all these. So in addition to these sins that you're supposed to put to death, you're supposed to put these things off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. It says, lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off, again, the old man with his deeds. Seems like we need to remind some Christians that you're a new man. You're a new woman. Why are you dabbling in all that stuff you used to dabble in? Let's get rid of it. And it says, verse 10, and I put on the new man. We put off the old man, put on the new man when we got saved, which was renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we're supposed to be learning more about the Lord, and we're supposed to be looking more and more like the Lord in the way we live, in the way we talk, in the way we think. It says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. That's a pretty good broad statement. He is all and he's in all. So these differences that we may have had, once we become a Christian, we're part of the body of Christ. And those differences are supposed to subside and be done away with, right? Put on, therefore, now here we go, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. This is the stuff we're supposed to put on. Remember, Bubba? Put on Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. There's really no place in the life of a Christian for grudges and being bitter and hateful and mean towards somebody. It says, and above all these, put on what? Charity. Kind of like the umbrella. You can't see that part with the hearts on there. That's a special design umbrella, isn't it, Amy? Yeah. She designed it. See the little heart stuck on there? So above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Remember the idea of officiating in your heart or refereeing in your heart? So the peace ought to basically make all the worry and anxiety disappear, to the which also ye are called in one body. And it says, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It reminds me of Linda's testimony about how powerful the word of God is and how it's all that we need. It's supposed to dwell in us. And if you're not spending time reading it or under the word of God and preaching or teaching, it's not going to be dwelling in you. It says, richly in all wisdom, it leads to wisdom. And then we talked about last week, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace. Some would say even gratitude in your hearts to the Lord. So it should lead to singing. Now we get to the verse we're going to look at. In particular, it says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So in this sermon tonight, in the name of the Lord Jesus, point number one, a great concluding summary statement to this section. A great concluding summary statement to this section. Now, you know, throughout the whole, I commented as I went through about every verse, but the idea is we're different, okay? We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to not have certain things in our life. We're supposed to have certain things in our life. We're supposed to be different. It almost seems to me, in verse 17, it's kind of like, okay, in fact, let's just put it this way. It's a pretty broad statement, don't you think? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Doesn't that kind of summarize everything that's been said in that chapter? So to me, it's a really good concluding summary statement. Remember, whatever you say and whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it says also giving thanks. So I think it's really a good concluding summary, don't you? It seems to kind of wrap it up. And you heard the expression, you know, how can we wrap this up in one ball of wax? It just kind of wraps it up in one big ball of wax there in verse 17. Number two in this passage and the message tonight, an all-inclusive statement. An all-inclusive statement. Look what it says. And whatsoever. That sounds like that's pretty broad, don't you think? I don't think we say whatsoever a whole lot today, but we'd say whatever. You know, basically inclusive of everything, right? Whatever ye do in word. I mean, we talk a lot, don't we? So whatever you do, whatever. There's no exceptions. Whatever you do in word, it says in deed, and it says do all. All. So every action, every word is included in a statement. We're supposed to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. So there's nothing. You know, it's like, well, you know, I was getting the flesh every once in a while. Well, that's really not a good excuse. True, yes, we all do get in the flesh, right? Because we still have the battle between the sin nature and the Spirit of God that lives within us. So that's true. But this all-inclusive statement doesn't leave a whole lot of wiggle room. I mean, really. I mean, it's as if Jesus... Now, this, again, is written to the church at Colossae, so it's written to the church of Oakbound also, right? it says in this all-inclusive statement, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all. I don't know. That's, like I said, we lawyers can figure out how to wiggle stuff, right? Now, I know there's good Christian lawyers, and I know there's probably a lot of the unchristian lawyers. How am I going to say that? Christians, lawyers that are not Christians. Get it right. But lawyers, that's what they're trained to do, right? Try to find a loophole or some little wiggle. I'm telling you, in this verse, for a Christian, I don't see any wiggle room. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a preacher, but I don't see any wiggle room. An all-inclusive statement. First of all, a great concluding summary statement to this section. Second, an all-inclusive statement. Number three, name speaks of honor and character. Name, in this verse, speaks of honor and character. It says there, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that means that everything I do or say at the end of that sentence, I'm supposed to say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? Well, first of all, people would think you was plumb cuckoo if you did that. You know, or you'd go be walking down the street and you'd do something or say something or even think something. In the name of the Lord Jesus. They'd say, okay. Your neighbors would look at you kind of weird and say, something's wrong with that person. They got a screw loose or something going on. Their elevator doesn't go clean to the top, or they're not playing with a full deck or something, right? So that's not what it's saying. What it's saying, when it says in the name of the Lord Jesus, it says basically to honor the name of the Lord Jesus. It means to live up to the character of the Lord Jesus. Now let me ask you, did Jesus ever sin? No. So if we're trying to live up to his character and do everything to honor his name, our standards ought to be pretty high. Now listen, you got to listen real close to this, okay? We will not reach perfection as long as we're in this world. But listen, but we are supposed to shoot for perfection in this world. Do you see the difference? Now, some of you hunters are going to go out in the woods on Monday, and you're going to go out and shoot for that big monster buck, right? Now, you may not hit that monster buck, but that's going to be your goal. In the same way in the Christian life, our goal is perfection, but we'll not reach it as long as we're in this world. Some people like to say, well, I know that was sin. I know I shouldn't have said that. I know I shouldn't have done that. But you know what? I'm just human. Or I'm not perfect. Or nobody's perfect. Everybody's got sin. I'm just telling you, with God, that may sound good to your friend or to whoever you're saying it to. It doesn't sound good to God. Because you see, our standard is perfection. We're not going to reach it. Don't misunderstand me. Now, there are some people that feel that they'll reach that point of perfection. I don't know. Not in this planet. We're not. Not in this world. We're not going to. Because we're still got that old sin nature. But we're supposed to be shooting for it. Y'all see the difference there? But it says name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Name speaks of doing it for his honor and doing it according to his character. Now, it's kind of interesting, I thought, when it says the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, you hear preachers say, you know what? You have to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You hear preachers do that, say that? What's that mean? He means to have the authority in your life, right? Now, when it says that we're supposed to, everything we say and everything we do, I believe there's a reason why it says Lord Jesus. It's because we're under his authority. You know, it's not like, oh, well, I have a choice in that. No, if you're a child of God, you're under the Lord's authority. And so we need to make sure that the words that we speak, the actions that we do, are under his authority. I find this kind of interesting. We're already called by his name, right? Because we're called Christians. So we're already called by his name. The next challenge is to talk like a Christian in the name of Jesus and to walk like a Christian should in the name of the Lord Jesus. Someone put it this way It says, now let's talk and do everything according to his name for his honor and according to his character. And they say, you know, that involves my lip and that involves my life. Well, that's pretty good. Two L's. My lip and my life ought to both be in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then sometimes we humans, we're creative to try to come up with excuses. Really, we are. We say, well, and we compartmentalize our life and say, well, I'm good in this area. Now, this one here, I don't really think we should be doing that. Do you? I mean, we really should try and strive to pull all areas of our life up, right? And we kind of segment it. Well, that's at the workplace. I can do it at my workplace. But I'm not going to do it at church. I'm not going to go. You know, it's kind of like that makes it okay. It doesn't. You know, we're called by his name. Now it's up to us to talk in the name of the Lord Jesus and to act in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, see, there is a disconnect before the world, the testimony we have before the world. There's a real disconnect sometimes. And that's a lot of times the reason people don't want to come to Oak Mound and people don't want to come to XYZ Church down the road is because we are not living up to the name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah, let me ask you, how many cuss words does it take for someone to be turned off by your Christianity? How much one little bit of juicy gossip does it take for someone to be turned off to the idea of Christianity? How many one bad act, you know, speaking up perhaps and defying authority or saying something mean to somebody or actually doing something that they know you shouldn't be doing, like drinking a beer or smoking a cigarette or who knows any number of things, right? And they say, whoa, it only takes one act or one word to put a black mark against Christianity. You see, we're called Christian. Now it's time for us to live up to expectations. Now again, please don't misunderstand. We're not perfect. But let me tell you, there's a lot of Christians that really just don't care. They're like, I don't care. Well, they ought to care because God cares. And you're the Wednesday night crowd, and I figure you care. I mean, you want to guard your testimony. You want not only want to be called Christian, you want to talk Christian, and you want to live Christian. Now, you may have told someone, you may have told your kids, I know we've told the boys, don't do anything that will disgrace the Delay name. Or don't do anything that will reflect bad on the Delay name. Now, how many of you have told your kids something to that effect? Remember, I give that little talk to our teenagers every time we'd go and do anything in the van. You're like, okay, you're representing God and you're representing your family. You're representing Oak Mound, so I expect that your behavior to be. You know, and really, that's what God is saying. Don't do anything to reflect bad on the name of Jesus. Like I said, we have quite a Christian family name to uphold, don't you think? Name speaks of honor and character. What we're supposed to do is with the words and the actions, it's supposed to bring honor, and it's supposed to be in line with the character of Jesus. So tonight, in the name of the Lord Jesus, number one, a great concluding summary statement to this section. Number two, an all-inclusive statement, whatsoever, word, deed, all, not much wiggle room in that statement. Number three, name speaks of honor and character. Number four, and last point, a key element in the Christian life is, this is very appropriate. I can't believe it's coming up right now. Thankfulness. A key element in the Christian life is thankfulness. It's interesting. If you look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And there it is. And be ye thankful. Verse 16. It talks about teaching, right in the middle of the verse, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now some would say the idea there of singing with grace is with gratitude or thanksgiving. And then lo and behold, in verse 17, it's mentioned again. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's by Jesus. So thank the Father through Jesus for everything. If we could crank up our thankfulness or gratitude in our hearts and lives, do you think it would impact your Christian life? You know, they have these crazy, I'm not a huge electric vehicle advocate, okay? I like my gasoline motors, my internal combustion engine. I had a class. Can you believe it? As a mechanical engineer, I had a class in internal combustion engines. I'm not sure if I learned anything in that or not, but, and I'm just kind of a mechanic, you know, if it's simple, I might be able to figure it out, but if it's very complex, but I'm not a huge fan of electric vehicles. You say, well, I am. Well, praise the Lord, you have at it. Go your 200 miles and then try to find a charging station if you can. But the point is, you got to find a charging station to plug into, right? Now, wouldn't it be cool if every morning, or maybe this would even be more convenient, we could have it right there at our bed, and we could plug it into our ear or something, a thanksgiving or a thankfulness or gratitude type of jolt that would just kind of energize our body. We go, boy, am I thankful today. I mean, really. And let me tell you, if you're not thankful and you're around someone who's trying to be thankful, you're a drag on them. I mean, it's amazing to me. I mean, it takes almost nothing to zap people that are trying to be happy and thankful and joyful and serving the Lord. Some of you know this. And you're around someone for just a little bit, and it might be someone who's related to you. And all of a sudden, you know, there's like, and you're like, huh. And you just kind of deflate it. And it's like, where'd that thankfulness go? But I'm telling you, if we had a jolt of thankfulness every morning, and really, shouldn't we be thankful? I mean, I think it would almost be a different thing. Well, I have nothing to be thankful for. Well, I think everybody has something to be thankful for. Don't misunderstand me. But we're in West Virginia. We ought to be thankful for being. That's a boost right there, right? Born and raised, most of us born and raised in West Virginia. We're Americans where we have freedom. And I know our country's not perfect. And I know our country needs revival. But we can be thankful for that. I mean, it was raining. Probably when y'all come in. It was raining when we came in. Was it raining when y'all came in? Did y'all get wet in your car? You didn't. You must have had a roof over your head then, right? You mean you didn't come in horse and buggy? I'm just saying that. This, really, we have lots to be thankful for. And you say, well, you know, there could be someone here tonight that I'm not even aware of. You say, I have terminal cancer right now. I've not said much about it. I know my date. You're still here. And if you know Jesus, praise the Lord. I mean, I'm not trying to belittle or speak lightly of our tribulations and trials and things that you're going through. But really, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out. We got things to be thankful for. And we can emphasize the 10 things at the bottom of the list that's going wrong, or we can emphasize the 100 things before it that are going right. And thank God. And believe me, if we thank God, believe me, that's a key element in the Christian life. Actually, in this book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 3, it's mentioned 6 times in the book of Colossians specifically. Not even counting verse 16 here in this chapter, but 6 other times. Notice what it says, Colossians 1, 3. It says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Talks about being thankful, Paul, as he writes to the Colossian church. In verse 12 of this same chapter, notice what it says. Giving what? Thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has qualified us as saints going to heaven. Praise the Lord. That's something to be thankful for. Chapter 2 and verse 7, notice what it says. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Chapter 3 and verse 15. Notice what it says. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And there it is, that same verse we looked at a little bit ago. And be ye thankful. Of course, verse 17 is the verse that we're in. But look at chapter 4 and verse 2. Chapter 4 and verse 2. Notice that. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with what? Griping and complaining and God, I need to. No, with thanksgiving. Wow. You know, think about this for just a moment. Say this would happen tonight. Say, as we're and I'm not saying this to shake anybody up, but say if we were going down the hill, there was a police officer down at the bottom of the hill, and they make you roll down, you know, okay, roll down your window, Was you at that church up there? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was at that church up there. All right, get in the patrol car. We're taking you to jail. Could you still be thankful? The reason I ask that is because Paul, he was in prison in Rome. When he wrote this book, one of the prison epistles, one of the prison letters that he wrote to the church, probably for a lot of us, we'd be like, I can't believe God let me go to prison for serving him. I can't believe. But he's saying, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. That's four. Be thankful, be thankful. Six times in this book, he says, be thankful. See, it is such a key element. I mean, if you're, I know there's a lot of people battling discouragement. I know there's a lot of people battling depression. And I know that there's many times more to it than what I'm going to say. But really, why not try starting every morning with being as thankful as you can? And I know I mentioned that when we looked at this verse and be ye thankful a few weeks back, maybe two or three weeks back. But really, it is a key element in serving the Lord. Because if we're thankful, we'll willingly serve the Lord. We'll do it with a good attitude. We'll have a better testimony. And guess what? It'll be a whole lot easier for our words to come out according to the name of the Lord Jesus. And it'll be a whole lot easier for our actions to come out in its living out our lifestyle in the name of the Lord Jesus than if we're not thankful. And just in case you're wondering, could I be more thankful? Absolutely. I don't want to say, oh, you guys got a problem out there. No, we all got a problem. Really, we should be more thankful every single day. And many times I think life would appear less discouraging and depressing if we simply would be thankful. It seems to me that when you're thankful, life is easier. When we're thankful, it would appear to me that serving the Lord is easier. As well. In the name of the Lord Jesus, first of all, we looked at a great concluding statement to this section. I'm going to read it one more time. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I see an all-inclusive statement, whatsoever, word, deed, all. Can't wiggle out of it. I mean, that's what God expects of us. That's what our goal is to be, to make sure that the words that we speak and the lives that we live are according to the character of the Lord Jesus, according to our surrender to the Lord, and also according to his honor, to honor his name. Third, we looked at the name speaks of honor and character. And fourth, a key element in the Christian life is thankfulness.